We're in Genesis chapter 18 this evening, going through the story of Abraham. We can call him Abraham now. Name change from Abram. We're going to look at a few things in this chapter. We're going to look at how to serve God. We're going to look at learning about God, learning about ourselves, learning about the future, learning about others. We're going to look at facing our own emotions and maybe answering the questions they rise. We're going to look at intercession. And we're going to pay a special attention, close attention to a couple statements that Abraham makes in this chapter. Let's pray once again before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that now that you would prepare our hearts to receive from you, we pray that you bless this time, that you'd minister to all of us here through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 18. We'll read through verse 15 to start. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground, and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please, let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the trees, or under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Continuing the journey of Abraham's life, we see here the one statement that really jumped out to me, found in verse 5. He said, as the Lord appeared to him and these three men were there, he said, "Do not pass by your servant. Do not pass by your servant." The Lord appeared to him. And he didn't want the Lord to appear, come and go without being a part of it. "I'm your servant. Don't just pass by. Let me be a part of it. Let me serve you. Let me not miss this opportunity. Do not pass by your servant." So I noticed a couple things here we can look at about Abraham's attitude and how he served, and how we can learn also to serve, and how when we see and we sense God's presence, the Lord is revealed to us. He appears to us. We see him moving here and there. We can be a part of it. That this would be our prayer. "Oh God, do not pass by me. Let me have my part. Let me serve along with you." So I made a list here of seven things about Abraham, how he served the Lord. I always like to make my list seven if I can. I had eight, but I took one out because seven's always a good number. So, you know, the Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. And he wanted to be a part and he wanted to serve. First thing I see here, that about Abraham's attitude in his servant heart is that he was looking. Notice in verse 2, it says, "So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him." He was looking for the opportunity to serve. He was looking for the Lord to reveal himself and appear to him. He was focused on it. And how we can learn from Abraham and through Scripture to be attentive, to have our focus on that what is right and looking for an opportunity. Where can I serve? Can I serve there? Where is the Lord moving? How can I be a part of it? Our attention looking for us to serve the Lord. Second, I see Abraham simply asks the Lord. These three men appear. He says, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please, let a little water come." He just simply asks. Let me be a part of it. Let me serve. Simply asking. The Bible says, we have not oftentimes because we ask not. If we just do the simple exercise, "Lord, let me serve. Can I serve? Lord, allow me to be a part of your movement here today, now. Lord, do not pass by your servant." He looked, he asked. Also, you see through the whole story, he's excited. He runs to them. He runs and goes to get the food. He runs and goes to get the lamb. He's excited. And how, oh, God's looking for, we were singing that song, and I was thinking about it. You know, "Sanctuary, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, with thanksgiving." Oh, God wants people to serve him with thanksgiving, with a cheerful heart, with joy. And here Abraham was excited to serve. He was excited to play his part. And oh, how that pleases the Lord. Now we can learn, God, looking, asking, and then also, I would be so pleased to serve, to have my part. Excited to serve. What we can learn from Abraham in serving, do not pass by your servant. Also, I see here, notice the statement again, verse 5. He said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant." If I have found favor in your sight. So oftentimes we get it all backward. "My Lord, if you have found favor in my sight, let me be a part of it. If it's something I like." And we're worried about our favor. We're worried about what we want. And if it pleases us, if it's according to our will. But we learn from Abraham, if it's according to your will, if it's according to your favor, what do you want? If it's what you want, if you found favor, if I found favor in your sight, if you see this, you like this, you want me to be a part of it, you want me to go there, oh, let me do it. Let me serve. Having our focus on his favor, on his will, on his desire, on his pleasure. Oh, God, do you want me to go there? If you do, I'd love to. I ask to. I'm looking to. Also, I see that, and he gets down to practical serving. We see the example of very practical serving. "Let me get some water and wash these guys' feet." Interesting, there's three of them. You know, the Lord appeared to Abraham, and then there's these three men. Interesting. Now, maybe alluding to somewhat the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they're men. Pastor Chuck, in his commentary, points out, you know, maybe, you know, the Lord, after this, we see in chapter 19 that two angels go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and deliver Lot out of the city before it is destroyed. Pastor Chuck says maybe it's the Lord in his theophany, his appearance, and two angels with him. And then the Lord stayed with Abraham, the Bible says, and the two angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe that's possible. I don't know. But I think it's interesting that it calls them men. Because the Bible teaches us that we serve God and we love God through serving and loving men and women, fellow humans. Now, Jesus gave the great commandment. He said, the commandment to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. He says the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Those two are connected. Those two relate to one another. In fact, you can't love God and not love your neighbor, and you can't love your neighbor and not love God. Jesus tells us to agape, to love our neighbor with his love. So we have to have a love relationship with him first in order to receive his love in order to properly love others. Jesus said twice in the book of John, "As I have loved you, so you also love others." That's the only way we can, with His love. So, it's necessary for us to love God in order to love people, but we can't just love God. It says in 1 John, if you say, 1 John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God." And it goes on to say, if you say that you love God and do not love your brother, it doesn't work. How can you love God whom you can't see and don't love your brother whom you can? We have to express our love in part to those around us, people. So we see Abraham serving these three men, the Bible says, practically. "Let me wash your feet. Rest here. Let me go make you some food. Let me wait on you. Let me make things comfortable. And then you may pass." Practically serving. And many times that's how we serve God, by practically rolling up our sleeves and serving our brothers and sisters around us. Abraham served practically. That was number 6. Oh, no, that was number 5. Also, the phrase, if you look in verse 5, he says, "And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by. Inasmuch as you have come to your servant," they said, "do as you have said." After that, you may pass by. I see a principle here that Abraham served kind of with open hands. He didn't want to control the situation. "Okay, you stay here, and I want you to stay here, and I want to serve you every day for 3 months. No, just if it would please you, Lord, allow me to bring some food, and then you can leave. You do whatever." And when we are given opportunities to serve, we can learn the principle to do it with open hands. "You want me to serve for a day?" It's normal for me to want to try to package it and control it, to come up with some kind of formula and get comfortable where I can grab my hands on it and I know how it's going to continue. But God never wants it to be like that. And we learned from Abraham, "Listen, just let me serve you some food, and then, hey, whatever, you can leave, you can pass. Things can happen according to your pleasure and favor." Practically, with open hands. And finally, we see that he served sacrificially. We see that he gave him a tender calf, good meal. He gave his time. He himself prepared the meal and sat and waited on him as they ate. He didn't hold back. He gave the butter and the milk. You know, he couldn't run up to Kroger's and buy 4 more sticks for $2. I'm sure butter was pretty special back then. But he didn't hold anything back in his service. "Lord, let me serve, and I'll give the best of what I have. I'll give whatever I can." And he served sacrificially, not holding anything back, giving his time, working, giving his own effort, his time, and the best of all he had. So, quick review. How can we serve God? How can we properly pray, "Lord, do not pass by your servant. Let me be a part of it." We can look for it. Where can I serve? We can ask, "God, let me serve." We can be excited to work for God, to serve God, take pleasure in it, be thankful for the opportunity. We can seek His favor and His will. "God, you do it your way. What do you want? How do you want me to serve?" As he prayed, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant." Seeking His favor, His will, His desire. We can serve practically the people around us. We can serve with open hands, allowing God to control and not us, and serve sacrificially. So continuing on through the story, I see here maybe the result of his service, and oftentimes the result of our service. As we're given the opportunity to serve the Lord, we're given the opportunity to play our part in God's work. Oftentimes the result is learning, getting to know more about God. The people, as they ate the food, the three men, the Lord spoke to Abraham and reiterated the promise. "This time, the time is coming where Sarah's going to have a son. You're going to have a son." The Lord told Abraham this many times before. But as we serve the Lord, a result is promise. A result is learning. a result of God, is God confirming His promise to us. Also, we learn about ourselves. We learn about others. We learn about the future. We learn about His plan. We see all this here in the story. Abraham hears the promise. He hears about what God's going to do in his life. And then there's the whole situation with Sarah. She laughs at the whole concept. And the three men rebuke her. The Lord rebukes her. And, you know, Sarah learning about herself. Abraham learning about Sarah. You know, when we serve the Lord, God opens our eyes and deepens our understanding. Right after this, the Lord reveals to Abraham he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Judgment's coming. And he told him that because he was his friend and didn't want to withhold anything from him. The deeper we go, the more that we serve God, the less that we hold back, the more He opens His understanding, His Word, His will up to us. We learn about ourselves. We learn about others. We learn about His will and plan for the future. The result of service. A little side note here. The whole thing about Sarah laughing I thought was pretty interesting. She laughs. There's two questions asked of her. Really, they're asked through Abraham. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?" And then the second question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And she denies it. "I didn't laugh. No, I didn't laugh." He said, "No, but you did laugh." I was thinking, we would be wise to answer the questions that our emotions bring up. Now, I oftentimes kind of hide or try to like Sarah. "Oh, I didn't laugh. I didn't think that was funny. I wasn't crying. I don't want that." And yet, the angels here, "No, but you did." And it begs the question, why? Why did you laugh? And it was because she didn't believe. And then that begs the question, is anything too hard for God? If we were to just step back and look at what we laugh at, what we cry about, what we're attracted to, what we want, instead of kind of like trying to say, no, that's not true. Face it. Why do I want that? Why do I think that's funny? Why did I cry? Why am I emotionally responding in this way? And we would be wise and learn a lot about ourselves if we answer those questions, as Sarah was faced with. And then they could bring us deeper, as God can use those weaknesses of our humanity as building blocks to teach us. Well, if that's where you're at and why, how does that measure up to what the Bible says? What does God say about that? Should you change? Should you adjust? Maybe are you wrong? And just an interesting thing, as we evaluate our own emotions and not rationalize out how we feel, what we do. Little side note. But continuing on, and they went toward... Okay, let's read a little more. We've made it up to 15. Let's start in 16. "Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the ways of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, and the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him.' And the Lord said, 'Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know.'" Continuing, verse 22. "Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood still before the Lord." So they leave, and God reveals to Abraham where they're going, what's coming. Then you see that Abraham knows the city's wicked. For God says, "I'm just going to go down and see if it's true." And right away Abraham starts to say, "But what if there's some righteous people?" He knew what he was going to find, wickedness. But one statement of Abraham, or It's not even a statement, but in verse 22, it says, "Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood still before the Lord." I like that. That was the other verse that kind of really jumped out at me. Here, Abraham wants to serve the Lord. "Let me serve. Don't pass by." So here, he's serving practically. He's involved. It's what his heart's desire is. But then the men turned toward Sodom, and he ain't going there. He may want to serve, may be excited to have his part, but he ain't going there. And the men go that way. He stood. He stayed. Abraham still stood before the Lord. I know there's something to be learned there. We're out working. We're out serving. We want to do our part. But we need to stay with the Lord. We need to always remain with Him and never go anywhere toward the evil world and its ways. No matter who heads in that direction, we need to never leave God's side, as Abraham did. The last section of this chapter speaks of intercession. We have how to serve the Lord. We have the result of serving the Lord. And then we have a natural response of the result. The result is learning. God reveals more to us about ourselves, about His plan. And then what's the natural response? Why does God reveal stuff to us? And here, the natural response for Abraham was intercession. "I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." He didn't want to just tell him that so he could laugh it off. He knew that that would spark intercession. What is intercession? The Webster's Dictionary, and the most simple definition, is a prayer for another. Simple. In intercession and to intercede, it also speaks of pleading with God for another. It speaks of meditating. Genuine prayer. Real prayer. Not for yourself, but for someone else. I was looking at intercession in the Bible. And we have the example of Jesus. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. The Bible tells us in Romans, Hebrews, even in Isaiah 53, Jesus intercedes, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. All three parts of the Trinity, three persons of the Godhead, play their part in intercession. Jesus intercedes for us. He's doing it right now. The Bible says in Romans that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Spirit makes intercession for us, intercedes for us. And the Father, He receives the intercession, both from the Son and the Spirit. So we have the example in Jesus, and we're called to intercede. Ezekiel, there's a scripture, we're in the book of Ezekiel on Sundays. We haven't made it to chapter 22 yet. There's a cool verse in there, I'll read to you. Ezekiel 22:30. It says, "So I, the Lord speaking, sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." God's looking for people who will intercede, who will stand and pray for others, who will stand between God and someone else and pray. That pleases Him. And He's searching, I believe, as much today as He was then, looking for someone who will intercede for individuals and for communities. There's another portion of Scripture in Romans 11 that talks about how Elijah prayed. And he was discouraged and said, "God, there's no one left." And it was speaking about intercession. The word intercession comes up. And it says, notice how the Lord's response was, "I've reserved some that I may show grace." There's still some left. I think about this nation, and it's kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's destined for judgment. And, you know, why should we intercede for America? I don't think there's any hope left. But interesting, Abraham interceded, and God still destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But it was right for Abraham to intercede. God really initiated it. "Abraham, I want to tell you I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." He knew how he would respond. I believe God would have us intercede for individuals, for our community, for our state, for our nation. I believe He's looking for some to have the faith to intercede. It's proper. And we may think, there's no hope, this nation is going to be judged, but maybe his response is similar to that response he had to Elijah. There are some. I've reserved some. There's still some individuals who are mine, who will be saved from the judgment. But this last portion we'll read, and then we'll look at seven more things to do with intercession. Verse 22. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood still before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" So the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake, for their sakes." Then Abraham answered and said, "Indeed, now I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? So he said, "If I find there 45, I will not destroy it." And he spoke to him yet again and said, "Suppose there should be 40 found there." So he said, "I will not do it for the sake of the 40. Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry. I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there." So he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there." So he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry. I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. An example, one of the first examples of prayer, prolonged prayer, interaction with God, and intercession. What can we learn from Abraham concerning intercession in this section, in this chapter? First thing I see, as you notice, Abraham's got boldness as he comes before God. He comes near before God. And he speaks boldly in intercession. And I believe the Lord would have us be bold in our prayer. The Bible says that we are to come, we have access to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace and mercy, and receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. We can come boldly for others also. We see Abraham was bold. But also intermingled with his boldness was humility. He said, "Far be it for you, God," and then, "I'm but ashes. Please don't be angry." And we need to be both humble and bold. We always have access. We can always speak our mind, and God welcomes all prayers. But we need to realize that He's God, and we're not. And to maintain humility in our prayers. I pray boldly, but I don't know best. Maybe I'm wrong, and you hear that kind of in Abraham's tone. You know, if you'll permit... What about this? This is how I feel. This seems right to me. But you know, I'm just man. I'm just. But he displays boldness and humility at the same time. Also, I see here that he's very honest and real. His emotions, "Far be it for you." This is how he felt, and he spoke how he felt. I don't think that God wants us to be superficial in our prayer, plastic, you know, mouthing someone else's words. He wants us to be real and honest, to share our heart. Even if it's like Sarah, she laughed. The Lord would have her be honest. "I laughed. I don't believe you, God." Let's work through this. Notice that though he questioned God judging Sodom and Gomorrah, he took his questions to God and he worked through them. Whatever we feel, whatever we think, we can bring to God. And that's how we're supposed to, you know, deal with those emotions and feelings, those thoughts. This is how I think, this is how I feel. Real, honest. But never how we feel and think should keep us from God. That's where the problem comes in. This is how I feel. It doesn't seem right what he's doing, so I'm just going to withhold myself. I'm just going to come over here. I'm just going to take some time away. I'm just going to go a different direction. I'm not going to pray today. That's when it leads us in the wrong direction. It can become a problem, damaging, destructive. But we can go to him with how we feel and think. And Abraham was real and honest, bold, humble, honest. Also, you see his concern. He really cared. He cared about the people in Sodom. He certainly cared about his nephew Lot. He cared about God's reputation. You should be just. You shouldn't judge a righteous man. You shouldn't judge 50 righteous people if they were there. He was concerned about the reputation of the living and true God. He was concerned about individuals. He was concerned about those he knew. I was thinking about this and I was convicted. Oftentimes, instead of being concerned, I become critical. You know, I would care about that person and be concerned, but it's their fault. And a critical spirit and outlook can oftentimes, for me, will drain all my concern, my compassion, my love. But Abraham, he was full of concern. He cared. And that's part of what drove him to intercession. And we tap into compassion and concern to be motivated by our love as we intercede for others. We see he's persistent. Again and again, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20. He was persistent in his intercession. I give up easy oftentimes. But he didn't. He kept praying. He was persistent. You know, remember when Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." The language there in the Greek really is, ask and continue to ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and continue to seek, and you will find. Knock and continue to knock, and the door will be opened to you. And Abraham had that. And Lord, help us to be persistent in our prayer, especially in our prayers of intercession. We see, this is interesting, his prayers were effective. The Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Everything Abraham asked was granted to him. Would you spare the city if there was 50? Okay. 45? Okay. 30, 20, 10? Okay. Effective. And I put a little note here, his prayers were effective but not authoritative. See, what he asked, God granted, but he couldn't pick the end result. But this is, it's amazing how prayer works. It's hard to understand and grasp. Prayer, Pastor Chuck oftentimes says, prayer is not a means by which we accomplish our will, but it's a means by which we accomplish his will. Where thy will be done is how we're supposed to pray. And yet somehow in the whole process, the Lord answers our prayers. That's amazing. And here, Abraham intercedes. He speaks his heart. He prays from a heart of love. And God's will is accomplished. Though it's not exactly what Abraham wanted. And yet it's exactly what Abraham prayed for. How that all works is amazing. And we can be a part of it. If the Lord would, can I serve? Can I pray? Can I intercede? And the Lord will help lead us in prayer. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But he will, the Holy Spirit, our spirit bears witness with his spirit. Oh God. And everything we ask will be granted to us if we pray according to his will. And we learn, Lord, yeah, I feel this is what you want me to pray. And we learn to be sensitive to him. And then we learn, I know this is what you want me to pray. I know this is according to your will. And we can be effective in our prayers, and our prayers can be answered. Here, Abraham, effective. All of his requests granted. And then finally, number 7, I love the last part. It says, so the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. His prayers were attended or received. God was there for it all. God didn't leave until Abraham was done. He said, I'm going to speak once more. Okay. And God will hear us whenever we pray. We can pray to Him all day long. In our prayers, we know that He hears the requests that we give to Him. Our prayers, He's always there. You know, the Bible does talk about if we regard iniquity in our hearts. There can be separations. There can be some things that will separate us from God in prayer. But we confess our sins. We repent of our sins. We come before Him sincerely. And He's always there. His hand is always open to us. And our prayers, we always have a company with the King when we pray to Him. So He was bold, humble, honest, concerned, compassionate, persistent, effective. And His prayers were attended. God was there the whole time. So, serving God, how can we serve God effectively? Learning more about God as a result. Interceding as a response. You see the full cycle here. And oftentimes, you know, God wants to keep interacting with us. He wants us to keep going. In life, throughout our whole life here on earth, it always keeps going. There's always a progress. There's always a journey that never is met fully until we see Him face to face. There's always more to be done. I like the cycle here. You know, He says, don't pass by me. I want to serve you. Give me a place to serve. So God lets him serve. And as a result, he learns. He gets to know more truth. His understanding grows. And as a response, a result of that, he's prompted to intercede. What does intercession prompt us to do? Serve. As we pray for people, God gives us opportunity to serve them. And use our own love and gifts to make a difference. So the whole cycle starts over again. And then God continues to take us deeper and teach us more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We confess our weaknesses and inadequacies. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy on us. We pray for grace. Lord, we want to serve you. Don't pass by us. Don't pass by your servants. Let us do our part. Let us serve. Teach us, Lord. Give us eyes to see. Give us faith. Give us opportunity. May we make the most of the opportunity. Help us to learn to enjoy and be excited to serve you. Appreciate serving. Help us to serve one another practically. Help us to look for it, ask for it. Lord, I pray that you'd show us who you want us to pray for. Help us to intercede. Teach us intercession. Give us a heart for prayer. Pour out your love in our hearts so we would have compassion and we would take that compassion to you in prayer. Develop our prayer life. May we become effective in our prayers. May we learn to pray what you want us to pray according to your will. Give us boldness. Give us humility. May we be honest. May we be persistent and not give up. Teach us to pray, Lord. We love you and praise you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.